Welcome to Financial Planning Explained. I'm your host, Mike Menninger, certified financial planner, owner and founder of Menninger & Associates Financial Planning. I am delighted to have Nick DeVito, also a certified financial planner. Nick, thank you for joining me.
Yep, thanks for having me.
What we're on is part two of our tax planning. And what we talked about in the previous episode is we kind of just did the basic introduction to the history of the tax brackets, all the different layers and levels of taxation, the different buckets with which you can have, how they tax IRAs, how they tax Roth IRAs, how they tax the different things, okay? And then where we left off with the last episode, I am going to pick up and kind of repeat myself again so that we could pick up and go from there. And that is basically, how does the tax system work? Okay, now mind you, we're only talking about income taxes and we're only talking about the individuals. But we're going to talk about that. You ready to go?
Yep.
All right, let's go. So where we left off, we showed and said, hey, this is what a tax return looks like. Rather intimidating and daunting, right? Everybody looks at this and says, holy cow, look at that. Okay, this is kind of a pain in the butt. Okay, but in fact, what I had done back in 2003, I said, wait a minute. Okay, I took and looked and dug deeper and did deep dives, pulled almost all my hair out to be able to do this. And what I did is I simplified the tax code. By simplifying the tax code, I created this worksheet for two reasons. Actually, one reason. The reason why I did this was because I was doing a lot of teaching of tax planning starting in 2003, right after the implementation of the tax brackets, which were the lowest taxes ever. Okay, I'll say ever, at least 100 years. So doing tours, I was doing all over the place. I was doing teaching of this. And I said, hey, you know what? I'm tired of drawing it up on the screen all the time. Why don't I just create this little worksheet? Well, then all of a sudden I realized, hey, you know what? We use this worksheet in almost every single client meeting yep. that we ever have.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it's a great visual representation to help people really understand how the tax system works.
Right. And it is so stinking simple.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely simple. Yeah. So what we did is we basically said, hey, we take a look at all of the income. And it's like your tax return is represented right here by the left side of the screen. And what we do is we take a look, you got earned income, basically how much money did you make that's being reported from your W-2. Then they take your interest and dividend income, how much did you earn at the bank, how much stock dividends, how much bond dividends, interest and short-term capital gains, long-term capital gains. And I just simplified it and made it just a single line item. Then what I did is I took all of the other 20 or 30 different ancillary things which aren't very common, and I called it other.
Yep.
All right?
Catch-all.
The catch-all. It's the catch-all. I don't need two pages for this. And what does that include? It includes K-1 income, which is if you have a trust or an estate or something that's going to be distributing that. You could have self-employment income. You could have business income. You can have unemployment, rental properties.
IRA distributions.
Pensions. Right.
The list goes on.
The list goes on. And we talked about last time, we're going to talk more about in these episodes, is the taxation of Social Security, or shall I refer to, because I've had multiple episodes on the phantom taxation of Social Security. That is an important thing to understand. And if you also remember back when we were talking about the history of the tax brackets, that one needs to make almost $400,000 now to break out of the 24% tax bracket if they're married. Yep. Now, this particular slide and this particular worksheet does in fact show the married versus the single tax brackets. So if you look at it right here, you can see that the married tax brackets are on this side, and then we have the single tax brackets on the left-hand side. And so what happens here is these tax brackets are hit at different income levels. But let's go back over here again and let's talk about how the income works. So your earned income is reported to you in the form of a W-2, okay? And we'll talk a little bit more about that. Then you add in your dividends and your interest and all that adds up to adjusted gross income. And the AGI, as we pointed out at the tail end of the last episode, the AGI is a driver for a lot of different things. Whether you are or you're not eligible for a whole litany of different programs. For instance, are you eligible to contribute to a deductible IRA? Are you eligible to contribute to a Roth IRA? Am I eligible to deduct income for or interest on student loan debt? am I eligible for getting the child tax credit? Okay. How much of my medical premiums or medical out-of-pocket expenses are deductible on Schedule I is based on your adjusted gross income, AGI. AGI is the number that we hear a lot. It's the driver as to whether or not you are or are not eligible for a variety and a litany of different tax programs. Then what they do is, how do I make this number smaller? Well, they give you a standard deduction. Okay, now let's blow this up a little bit. If you have a married couple, what happens is you have a standard deduction in 2024 of $29,200. We can cut it out. $29,200. And if you're single, it's half that. Yep. $14,600. And head of household is defined as a single parent. Or if you have dependents who are children, or in the case of having adult dependents, they could be disabled or over 65 or what have you, older. I should be careful when I say that, because people at 66 or 67 may not consider themselves old. Call them senior citizens.
Yep, there you go.
Okay. But if they're a dependent, which means that you are supporting more than 50% of their cost of living, then you can claim that as a dependent. However, and that's if you're single, then you can file head of household.
Yep.
All right. So what we're going to do here is we're now going to go over and do an example. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to blow this up a little bit. And if I can blow this up at all. Okay, here we go. So what I'm going to do here is show, for instance, if I have someone who makes, let's say, $80,000. Let's record it as 80. If they make $80,000 but contribute 10% of their income to their 401k, 10% is $8,000. So what happens, that's
the traditional 401k, just to clarify.
Right.
Traditional, not Roth.
That is considered to be tax deductible, as we talked about in the first episode. And by the way, medical premiums, HSAs, are also tax deductible. So if I was contributing, let's say, $250 a month to my medical insurance and $250 a month to my HSA, that's a total of $500 a month, which is $6,000 a year. That's deductible. At the end of the year, my W-2 is going to say 80,000 minus 8 minus 6. It's going to show 80 minus that is 66,000. And let's say my spouse, the same deal. Spouse makes 60,000, they're putting money in, they may have a W-2 that is, say, 50,000. Then we count interest. Okay, so let's say the bank interest is $2,000. Then any capital gains or qualified dividends, and we talked about this when we were talking about our buckets. Qualified dividends are dividends that are distributed by stocks. So like Microsoft, IBM, Apple, if they distribute dividends, they distribute qualified dividends, which means they receive special tax treatment. Similar to Nick's point in the first episode is that if you have a capital gain and it's a long-term capital gain, then it also qualifies for special tax treatment. So in this particular instance, I am going to assume that this particular individual had $6,000 between long-term capital gains and dividends. So what I'm going to do here is I am going to put that $6,000 in quotes, because I'm going to explain what I mean by that. So what happens is we have no other income. We don't have unemployment. We don't have IRAs. We don't have pensions. And we're not talking about Social Security. So this is your only income. So what we do is we add this up. So we've got 116, 118. This gives them an adjusted gross income of $124,000. Then we have the ability to take the standard deduction. In this case, I'm going to round it off and say $29,000. But what they afford every taxpayer the ability to do is to itemize. And there are four major hitters when it comes to itemizing deductions. And those major hitters are mortgage interest. taxes, and I'll refer to them as SALT, state and local tax.
And however, with the SALT, you are capped at $10,000.
That's correct. Medical expenses, which as I pointed out earlier, it's only that which is above 7.5% of my AGI. So if my AGI is $124,000, 7.5% of that is something to the tune of $9,000. So if I have $10,000 in medical expenses and medical premiums, then I can only write off $1,000. Most people don't take that because they have medical insurance.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes you run into seniors that will have it because their AGI is low, therefore their thresholds.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. And then lastly, charitable contributions. So with a lot of people who have mortgages with a relatively low interest rate, if you have a $200,000 mortgage at say 4%, then you got $8,000 worth of mortgage interest. And as we pointed out, you can have state tax of 3% of the $130,000 that they made gross income. That might be $5,000, I'm sorry, $4,000. Then they got their homeowner's tax, the property tax might be another $8,000. You add up all these taxes, it might be $15,000. Uh-oh, sorry, buddy. You can only cap it at $10,000. Now, when they made that tax law change, I'll tell you what, the people that were griping the most are the people in New York, California, and New Jersey, because their tax rates are so much higher, as are the real estate rates, but they're capped at $10,000. And if you have nothing above for medical expenses and nothing above the AGI or 7.5% of AGI, it leaves you with charitable contributions. You make $2,000. You now have $20,000 in itemized deductions. Guess what? You could take $29,000. Why in the world would you take $20,000? So what happens here is then you take your standard deduction of $29,000, and then you get to be in a taxable income. Is you subtract these two numbers and you have taxable income of $95,000. But wait, there's more. So what happens is they then, to calculate the taxes, boy, I really took it. I challenge anybody. There is a tax form that's down deep, and I forget the tax form number, but it's the taxation of dividends and capital gains. I'm telling you, that was a major hair loss, but I figured it out, okay? It's ironic because a lot of people don't realize this.
Yep.
So what happens is to calculate your taxes, they go excluding dividends and gains, which we see are $6,000. You actually subtract that out and you have a taxable income of $89,000. So now what they do with that $89,000 is they go here. Now they put you up on the tax code. If you're married, you're on the right-hand side here. So what they do is they take this $89,000 and here you are, $89,000, yay. And then what they do is they then kick in that extra $6,000 are your dividends and capital gains to bring you to 90. So what they do here to calculate your tax is they say all your taxable income from 0 to 23 is taxed at 10%. From 23 to 89 is taxed at 12%. Above 94, from 94 to 201 is taxed at 22%. From 201 to 383 is taxed at 24%, and so on and so forth. But what they then do after that is then they add in the capital gain. So $1,000, so they're in the 12% tax bracket, and then we add the dividends and capital gains. What's interesting about dividends and capital gains, as we pointed out earlier, is that they're always taxed lower than taxable income. So we created these red zones. Up in this red chart area, the capital gains tax is 20%. If you're in the yellow zone, it's taxed at 15%. If you're in the green zone, it gets taxed at my favorite rate, 0%. All right, now, then, as I indicated before, they calculate your taxes based on your taxable income, ex dividends and gains, and then they come back and throw them in on top. And what happens there is on 6,000, they go from 89 to the 94, and I did not intend for this to happen. The first $5,300 is down here in the zero area. But then the last $700 is up here, gets taxed at 15%. So that's what they do, is they add that in to figure out what your tax is. It's that simple, okay? Now, I say it's simple, but it is relatively simple. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a break right here, let you digest that, and we'll be back with you in a few moments, because then what we're gonna talk about is what's going to happen starting at the next, when they go back to the prior tax rates, or what's gonna happen in 2 years, in 2026, when they go back to the previous tax rates. So stay tuned, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Do you keep up regularly with your investments? Where exactly are your hard-earned dollars going? Are you financially prepared for an emergency?
I'm Mike Menninger, founder of Menninger & Associates Financial Planning. We believe that education and knowledge are powerful, and we want our clients to understand why we are making the recommendations that we make. It's your money, and you deserve to know where it's going, because it's not how much you make, it's how much you keep. So call us today to discuss your financial concerns. Welcome back to Financial Planning Explained. I'm your host, Mike Menninger, certified financial planner, and I'm with Nick Vito, also a CFP, as we continue on with the tax brackets. I can't believe we took the entire first segment just talking about how the tax system works. Yep. What I want to do is I want to go back to that slide. Uh-oh, guess what? Oh, there it is. Wow. What I want to do, and we talked about this during the break, is, to your point, is talk about marginal tax brackets. So what I want to do is I want to take this example and adjust it. Let's say, for instance, in this particular individual made $180,000. Okay, so this number becomes $160,000. This number becomes $224,000. And now they're 189. So instead of, and what I'll do is I can do my eraser thing, is instead of being down here, all right, it's not erasing. Oh, it's not working either. All right, come on. All right, well, it's not working. So anyway, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna say, all right, he's actually at 189,000. So in this particular instance, because I covered up the 201, in this particular instance, that individual is in what is referred to as the marginal 22% tax bracket. You want to talk more about that?
So I would say one of the most common misconceptions we run into when we're talking about taxes is people think, oh my gosh, I just jumped into the next tax bracket.
Right, you were talking
all
about
my income is taxable at that rate, and that's not true. Just to clarify, it's only what is above that. So if you jump into the 24% tax bracket, only the amount of income that you have that is above that is actually taxable. So it doesn't mean all your income is taxed at 24%, only what's above that certain threshold.
Right, and so more about the marginal tax bracket. So in this particular instance, we use the example where he made an extra 100. So their taxable income is 189,000. And in fact, we can even throw the extra $6,000 that we have from dividends and capital gains. But the reality of it is that when you have $189,000, what happens is that if you add an extra $1,000 anywhere as ordinary income, what'll happen is it'll noodle its way through. So let's say, and there's two ways of looking at it. Let's say I got a $1,000 bonus. I went from 180 to 181. That $1,000 is gonna noodle its way all the way through the tax return. It's gonna increase my taxable income by $1,000. But in this particular instance, what happens is I go from 189 to 190. How much was that $1,000 taxed? It was taxed at 22%. Similar, which is going to be important when we talk about it later, let's say this gentleman or person or whatever decided to contribute an extra $1,000 to their 401k. If they contributed an extra $1,000, instead of them contributing $8,000 to their 401k, they contributed $9,000. Instead of their W-2 saying 180, it's 179. It noodles its way all the way through the tax return, and instead of it being 189,000, it's 188. What did they save? They saved 22%. So to Nick's point, if they took an extra 20,000 and they found themselves up here at 209, well, it's not, and they broke into the 24% tax bracket, it's not as if they're paying 24% on everything. They're only paying 24% on that marginal amount that is above the next bracket. I mean, we were talking about it during break, okay? Bunch of nurses don't want to take overtime. Yeah.
So just to give you the backstory, one of my good family friends is a traveling nurse, and it's all contract work that they do. And she was saying that some of the other nurses were saying they didn't want to take a certain contract because they were afraid of breaking into that next tax bracket.
So I hear it all the time.
Common misconception, and people were missing out on income because they thought they were going to be taxing everything at that rate.
Trust me, years and years ago, I used to work, and people wouldn't do the overtime because of that.
Yep.
They wouldn't take overtime. Well, what's the point of doing overtime? They take more money out. In fact, there's another one. I'm not doing overtime because they tax my paycheck more. I don't make that much more. Well, when they do that, guess what? You're just adding more into the system that will probably result in a refund later.
Yeah.
There's so many misnomers associated with taxes that it's unbelievable.
Yep.
So again, what we look at here with these current tax brackets is that the two main thresholds of brackets are between the 24 and 32%, and then the 10%, or the 12 and the 22. The main reason, number one, between the 12 and the 22, that's the biggest jump in the code. That's 10% from one bracket to the next. Plus, if you compare relative to the prior bracket, it's an increase in tax rate of 83%. But more importantly, that's when your capital gains go from 0 to 15, okay? The next biggest jump is from 24 to 32, okay? Now, again, that's an 8% jump, but the reason why that is imperative is because of the fact that there's a lot of people sitting out there with these giant IRAs that they're thinking that they're doing themselves a favor by deferring and contributing to a tax deductible account. And next thing you know, they're going to be taking the money out later in retirement. And I could say with a high level of confidence that a large percentage of the people who are in the 24% tax bracket today are going to be in a higher tax bracket in retirement. And that is because of the phantom taxation of Social Security and a whole litany of other reasons that we are going to talk about later. Okay, so now let's talk about what's going to happen in 2 years. Okay, now, mind you, these are the 2026 projected. Now, they're not, why are they projected? Well, what's really projected by it, and this is a third-party software that we used, that projects based on historical inflation rates, where are the brackets going to go from here based upon where they were in 2017, where the numbers are today, and then projecting out two more years. The key here to point out is a few things associated with the new tax laws. Number one, as we talked about earlier, the 12% tax bracket now becomes 15. The 22% tax bracket becomes 25 and then becomes 28. And it goes from 25 to 28 at only 191,000. Okay, today it's 201,000, you're going from 22 to 24. And lastly, you hit the 33% tax bracket at 291,000 of taxable income. Whereas right now, you're still in the 24% tax bracket at $383,000. So as you can see, those folks that are upper middle class pulling down 300,000 are in a lower tax bracket today than they're going to be in a couple years. And as we'll describe later, will almost certainly be lower today than they are in retirement, which now means that these people, everybody's out there, not everybody, but most people out there are going to be staring down the barrel of higher tax rates. And we've got 2 years to do something about it. Now, we're not going to be able to do anything about the future tax rates, but all we can do is take advantage of it now. I like to say, the IRS is on sale. All right, when they're on sale, you want to take advantage of when they're on sale. You're buying bulk, right?
Yeah.
You're buying bulk. Yeah. So what we find ourselves doing a lot of is, as we talked about with the different tax buckets, and I'm going to go back to the 24 tax brackets, this is a big mess here, is if you look at this, you don't hit the higher tax brackets until you hit $383,000 before you break out of the 24% tax bracket and hit 32. So what we find ourselves doing is we take a close look, project out someone's income in retirement, which will include their Social Security and 401k or IRA distributions, pension distributions, dividends, interest, all that stuff flows in and subsequently causes Social Security to become taxable. And as we'll demonstrate later, that causes you to actually be in a higher income tax bracket in retirement. So lastly, what I want to talk about that's different, because we're almost out of time with this episode, is the change here. The big change that's coming is in one of the bigger changes that occurred in the 2018 tax laws is the standard deduction is basically cut in half. Okay, well, in fact, what it was is it was doubled. When it went from 2017 to 2018, they doubled the standard deduction. Okay, now with a lower standard deduction, all those people that weren't able to exceed the standard deduction threshold will now. Secondly, they're not limiting SALT to $10,000. So those people living in New York with the high taxes and New Jersey and California, high tax states, or those people living in higher tax, property tax, or those people who live in Pennsylvania and or not just Pennsylvania, but those people who have shore properties in New Jersey where they're paying through the nose with taxes, vacation properties and your primary residence, all those taxes will be able to be applied on your itemized deductions. And then you get to deduct every member of the household again, and that's the itemized deduction, not itemized deductions.
Exemptions.
Those are the exemptions, okay? Roughly $4,000 per member of your household. It's actually gonna be closing in on closer to $5,000. So what's gonna happen in a couple of years is a lot of people are then suddenly going to be itemizing again, which comes into play because especially with the higher mortgage interest rates now,
yep.
A lot of people aren't actually claiming itemized deductions, so they're paying through the nose with the higher mortgage rates. All right, that concludes this episode. We are going to be picking up with part three. We're going to start talking about the different facets of, as we talked about, the higher income tax in retirement, tax rate in retirement, than while you're working. So thank you for joining. Thank you, Nick.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you in the next episode of Financial Planning Explained. You have a wonderful day and a wonderful night.